Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play wrapping up right there means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And it is program number 482 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. 14 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, 30 degrees our current temperature here in Albany, and we have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Larry Olson. Larry, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing just fine. How's everything up in God's country?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. You were up here, just a few short weeks ago, Pioneer Days, and boy, You made quite a stir here. A lot of folks were happy to see Larry Olson here.
Well, that's good, and I really enjoyed being up there.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, Cy, that was my first time at that...
Pioneer Days, yeah.
And I just, we made arrangements to go back there next year again.
So, well, great. Yeah, and you happened to throw the concertina in, and you sat in with a few groups there, and boy, that made everybody's day.
Yeah, that was sure fun, and a lot of nice musicians up in that area, lot of good ones, too, I should say, and a lot of them that play old-time music. You know, I'm sitting in an area down here, southwest Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
where there isn't a lot of musicians down here that play old-time music.
Okay.
So, you kind of got to get them from up in your area or, of course, the New Ulm area. There's a lot of them down there.
Absolutely.
But right around my area here, there's not too many. So a lot of good musicians up there in the Albany, St. Cloud area, you betcha.
Uh-huh. And the weather was just a little bit warmer when Pioneer Days was happening than what we're experiencing today, huh?
Yeah. I was surprised that you guys didn't get no snow up there yet. We got I'd call it a real good dusting here.
Uh-huh.
The fields are white, and like I said, I think we're right now at about 29 degrees down here yet. We're supposed to get up to about 32 here today, so right at the freezing level.
Yep. So, yeah, and the sun is shining here. It looks nice, but I just ran out to the truck for some stuff, and I didn't put a jacket on, and by gosh, the wind is a little raw.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's just telling us what's in store, what's coming, huh?
You bet. I think we're just getting a tip of the iceberg right now, so... But that's okay. That's why we love Minnesota, right?
That's why we live in Minnesota. That's right.
You bet. Well, great. Well, Larry, just for those one or two folks out there listening in that probably don't know who the heck is Larry Olson, why don't you give us a brief history of where you were born and raised and how you got going in music?
Well, I tell you what, Cy, I I'm a Lake Benton native from being born till current. I've never moved away from the nest, I guess. I was born in Tyler, Minnesota, our bordering town where they had the hospital, and I'll be 60 years old now and coming up here this next year. And then I, like I said, I live at Lake Benton my entire life, and I'm pretty proud to be the owner of the family farm and my grandpa's farm. My grandpa, I never got to see him, but he homesteaded a farm here back in the 40s, and I own that, and I own my uncle's farm, and so yeah, I've got quite a few farms that have been in the family for many years, and I've got a son and a daughter that are interested in farming. So when I step down, I guess I'm gonna turn it over to them, and they're gonna keep it rolling in the Olson family.
Well, that's great. And your dad was Arnold Olson, huh?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's you did a CD, a tribute to him.
Yeah. We put a couple volumes together that and put them on one there that he had. When he was drumming with me, and oh yeah, God, people still talk about him and how he hammered away on those drums, you know. And he was just he wasn't what you call a fancy drummer, but he was a nice, steady drummer. He had a good beat, and he was always there if you needed something extra put in, you know.
You bet. And as a concertina player, you do appreciate that steady beat. That is really necessary.
Yeah, and you're a drummer too, huh?
I am, you bet. And over the years, I've received a lot of compliments. My dad was a drummer with the Deutschmeisters back in the days there for the first 10 years of their existence, and he taught me how to do it, and I tried to pattern myself after him. Nothing fancy, just that steady beat, and all the guys that I played with, a lot of good ones over the years, they complimented me, and so it was a huge compliment to hear that. You just want to fit in.
Well, one of these years or days or whatever, we'll have to try to play together a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely, yeah.
Put that on our bucket list.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're one of the few concertina players that I can't cross off the list yet, so we got to do that.
And, you betcha. And, we'll do that.
And, you know, our candles are both burning, so we don't want to put it off too far.
Well, yeah, you know, you never know.
When, you don't.
When you go to the big band in the sky and yes. play with all your friends you've left behind.
Them. Yeah, I've never heard of anybody really coming back. You know, they once they get that call, they're off they go. So
you know, and I tell you what, you know, Cy, you know, you just look at how many musicians have left us down here.
Oh, for sure.
Man alive, there's just a ton of them, you know, and there's a, you know, every once in a while you run across a young gentleman and, by gosh, he says, I play concertina.
Uh-huh.
And, or I play accordion or I play saxophone.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really nice to know that there's some young guys out there yet that are playing instruments and even have a liking for old-time music yet. So that's just, you know, we need those guys around.
We do. Where'd you grow up and go to school then, Larry? Did you go to Sleepy Eye or New Ulm, or whereabouts, how far are you from that area?
Well, I'm about 90 miles to the west of New Ulm.
Oh, that's so quite a ways.
I'm right out here by the South Dakota border.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
That's where Lake Benton is. If you look on the map, it's pretty far southwest of the state. And so we're about 8 miles to the South Dakota border.
Okay.
And then we're about probably 50 miles to the Iowa border.
Okay.
So kind of down in Sioux Falls, South Dakota is our big town that we like to go to when need something that we need in a big town. We wouldn't go up to the Twin Cities or St. Cloud. That would be 200 miles.
Right.
So,
okay.
So, yeah.
So,
town. And So we got another town down here. I don't know, Marshall, Minnesota.
Yeah.
If anybody's familiar with Marshall or Pipestone.
Yeah. Okay.
And, all those places, you know, at one time, Si, they all had ballrooms, and I played in. I was trying to think of, you know, some things to talk about here on your program today, and you know, I've only got about five ballrooms that I can think of that are still standing out of about 200.
Yes, isn't that true? Oh my gosh!
I was laying there last night, and I was thinking of all these ballrooms, and we have one right here at Lake Benton called the Showboat Ballroom.
Okay.
And Lawrence Welk played down there. The Six Fat Dutchman, Elmer Scheid. Of course, Larry Olson played down there.
Yeah.
I played a lot of weddings and anniversaries down there, and I played firemen's dances for Bolt Tyler and Lake Benton down there.
Okay.
Over the years. And, yeah, and that's no longer standing. And Marshall had the Blue Moon Ballroom, which we played over there. And, you know, I got a call. I played over there on a Sunday night. And I got a call the next morning that the ballroom had burnt down.
Oh.
And here, so we were fortunate. We were the last band that played in that ballroom before it burnt down.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, it was a fire of some sort. I never did hear what really caused it or anything. And then we also played a ballroom I'm sure you're familiar with up at Glenwood, Minnesota.
Yeah, the Playmore.
Yeah, right on the lake there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were playing in there, and we were, I think we were alternating with Julie Lee, if I remember right. There was two bands up there. And the next morning I got a call that place had burnt down. Something that one I heard was short in the kitchen somewhere, electrical short. And so, you know, and I think they've kind of built that back
yeah,
a little bit up there, but we have not played it since it's been going. But that's another one I remember playing that got basically destroyed. Oh, and another one down in Polina.
Yeah.
Polina, Iowa. We played down there one night, just had a heck of a good time. And it was 6 to 10 o'clock, and we got done playing. And the next morning I got a call from a couple that was there, and they said the Legion Ballroom is burnt up, burned to the ground.
My goodness.
And I just couldn't believe it. And that was something in the kitchen, too, that had started.
Well, you know, some of those ballrooms, in back in the days, the wiring and all of the building wasn't up to the standards and the codes that they have nowadays. So when you kind of looked at some of that stuff, it was a little sketchy. I mean, but the ballrooms were still fun. I mean, they were built in a good way, and the people that owned them, so many of the owners were so cordial and just trying to make a living, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, and that's a perfect way to put it. You know, all them ballrooms were built in the, probably the early 1900s, you know.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
1920, I remember 1930, there was... I've heard of ballrooms that had old-time bands already playing back
sure,
then,
Wolf sure.
and Don and some of them.
Yep.
But, you know, you just figure they're really an old building.
Yep.
And if the original owner or second, third owner, whatever, had it, they didn't make you bring them up the code like they do nowadays. But, boy, the minute a ballroom now or a building changes hands, boy, they're right away in there. Updating the wiring and the sewer systems and everything is, you know how it is.
It's you bet.
Up to date now, but
you bet. And
now there ain't any left.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I think we've got about three of them standing around here. We've got the Pelican Lake Ballroom out in St. Anna, Minnesota, and
yeah.
We were out there for the other Sunday. We were out there for a chicken and ham dinner that was sponsored by the Knights of Columbus up here in Holdingford. And the ballroom looks great yet. And they're not having dances there, but if you have a wedding or event, you can bring a band in. So there's always that chance to play there yet. Then did you ever get into the old Coliseum over in Richmond, Minnesota?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that one's been refurbished and looks really good. And we were there recently for a wedding as well. And, boy, nice dance floor, and the place is really, really nice. But again, not hiring any bands. If you have an event there, and they did have a band come in that night, and boy, it was just great.
That's the one that Earl Schmidt had at one time.
Yes,
right?
Our little buddy there, Earl Schmidt, you bet, did a great job.
That's who I worked for.
Yeah. And then,
You know, and of course, the old Gibbon Ballroom, you remember that?
Yes, we do.
Everybody
remembers that. Yeah.
You know, that's still standing, but of course it isn't a ballroom. I don't know really what got in there, but there's no way that's going to run no more. And of course, George is in New Ulm.
Yeah.
That one there now I heard is going to be dismantled here. They just, last week or week before, they had a farewell to it, and they had a couple bands playing out on the street, and that was going to be it. I guess they're going to tear it down and whatever's going to go up there, parking or something
else,
I guess.
Yeah.
Lose another one.
And as we're reminiscing, I guess ironically, one of the bands that played there a lot over the years as we were kind of growing up, Larry, was the Jolly Lumberjacks. And I see where Clem Brow just died, huh?
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah.
He played... Yeah, he had a band. I mean, I remember going to, when I was playing, different people said, yeah, we went to Clem Brow or whatever. And so he was around really going good in the 80s when I was first starting out.
Yeah.
And he went for many, many years. And I read that he had just passed away here not very long ago.
Yeah. Well, Larry, if we can ask you to hold that thought, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. We're going to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you if that's all right.
Yeah.
All righty. Yeah. So, Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market, reminding you that October is Pork Month for a couple more days yet. Celebrate October Pork Month with some juicy and flavorful pork chops, pork steak, country ribs, spare ribs, pork roast, pork sausage, and more, all for you at the right price at the St. Joe Meat Market. Pork, the other white meat. It's Halloween this week, a great time to come into the St. Joe Meat Market for some unadvertised spooktacular specials. The brat of the week this week is the jalapeno popper brat, one of our more spicy and flavorful brats that we make. They are made with generous amounts of real jalapeno cheese. They are especially good diced up in a casserole or a hot dish. Come in this week, take 30 cents off each package all week long, unlimited quantities. And don't forget, this coming Saturday, November 4th, is the opening of the 2023 Minnesota State Firearms Deer Season. Stock up on all of your backpack and snacking items, as well as your camp food meal menu items. Good luck and be safe out there as you try to bag that big buck. And as always, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjoesofmeatmarket.com. And that's the St. Joe Meat Market thanking you for your patronage. And Larry, for being our guest on the show, and you've been here before, you know how it works. We put up that nice meat package, and along with Chasm, the St. Joe Meat Market, we mail that out to you, priority mail. And I hope that you and your wife Brenda and the family enjoy it in good health. How's that worked out for you in the past?
Oh, that sounds good. But while you were rattling off all those meats for Pork Month here, holy cow, you made me so hungry. I don't know if I can wait until tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I've had meats from up at your up there at the St. Joe Meat Locker, and I tell you, a good friend of mine, Todd Menke, he's quite the cook and chef, and he likes good meats. And so we've shared some some festivals together, but St. Joe Meat Market, man, you just mouth-watering meats up there. I mean, the brats and everything you got are just top-notch.
Well, so, we appreciate that.
Out. You haven't been up there in all his recordings, huh?
Yep,
man,
yep.
You got CDs and albums. I seen you at Albany there. And,
yeah.
What a tremendous display you got there, so... Check him out. He's got all the bands you'd ever want to check out and hear or buy a CD of. Ain't that correct?
You bet. And speaking about those CDs, do you have an idea how many you've got available these days, Larry?
Well, we got volume 13 out.
13. Yep, I've got them all here then.
And I just don't know, you know, if a guy's going to make any more or not. It seems like the newer cars are playing something different in there.
Yeah.
You know, and if you need something for a radio show sometime, I guess maybe a guy end up burning some,
yep.
You know, just the, some songs that you get maybe some requests for.
Yeah.
Mostly or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, everything changes. They 8-track tapes, you know, and then they went to cassettes. Well, of course, it was LPs. But I heard they're coming back now.
Well, that's what everybody says. But so far, I haven't seen any evidence of it. We had some for sale at Pioneer Days, and I don't think we sold a one this year. So it's it's the, like you say, the technology is changing. I've sold a few of those USB cards now. We had our last recording with Lester Schuft. We put that on that USB, and it's attached to like a credit card, and it's got the song titles on the back and a picture of the CD on the front. And those are kind of nifty. And the newer cars all have those USB ports, or you can play it on your computer, you know, in your office or at home. So, but, you know, like Pete Wendinger was talking to me, he was thinking about putting his on there, but it's quite a lot to, I mean, they've got probably 15 to 20 recordings, and to get them all over on there, and you just don't know what they're going to throw at you next, you know, before you get those all, you know, onto there, then they'll come up with something new again. So it's a changing world.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, that's for sure.
You bet. But you know what? You made some quality, good recordings over the years, and you can be proud of those 13 that you've got out there.
Yeah, we've had fun doing them. And I don't know, I went through a lot of musicians over the years, I guess. You know, I had some that stuck with me for quite a while, but you know how things change.
Absolutely.
Some get older and want to retire and blah, blah, blah. And,
yeah.
But I'm fortunate now. I got a couple good guys that hang with me, and John Wendinger on drums, and Ross has been up in your area there. Everybody knows Ross
Galise, yeah.
And, you know, and so he's been playing a lot of jobs with me, and then I use a bass horn player down by Sleepy Eye on some jobs when it works, Frank Selner.
Oh, you've got Frank,
And I've added a new unit in my concertina. It's a MIDI unit.
So okay.
I'm trying to do bass work on my left hand now, and like I did years ago.
Sure.
And, but I went to a newer unit just because the players are so, you know, hard to get. There's a handful of them here and a handful there, and and the ones that are around, they're still playing with you know, jobbing out with this band and that one, and so you got to do whatever it takes to, you know. To make it work.
But. Yeah, because you book those jobs sometimes a year or more in advance, and then you just don't know who's going to be available at that time. So it's kind of a tricky business.
Yeah, you know, and and like you said, that it used to be, this is, well, I'm sure you can relate to this. 2 years ago, it was, they book you at least a year in advance or better.
Yeah.
But now since COVID hit, all that, it seems like they haven't went out quite that far, but now I see it starting to come into play again, like the fairs stuff.
Yep.
And if they find out that they're going to have the fair on this date, or they can get a carnival at this time, boy, then they're calling us right away and booking us back a year in advance or something like that.
You bet.
But, you know, when that COVID hit, then nobody... You know,
that
was around, boy, it just really changed everything. They were just calling up, well, 2-3 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
And, of course, if they wanted you, you would be open because there was nothing going on. You know, they'd say, well, we want a little music for this or for that. Yeah, we're open, you know. But, like I said, it's starting to pick up, I would say, you know, now quite a bit.
You bet. You bet.
We play as many jobs as we want to play in a year.
Yeah.
I got things going. I got grandkids now.
Yeah.
And this and that, and you're going to this and that. And not that I don't love the music, but when you've been doing it as long as I have, you just kind of step down a little bit. That's why I said I hope the younger ones can carry on and keep the old time going.
You know, we just haven't figured out a way where we can be in two places at one time yet. That's the whole problem. You know, when you're at a, you know, in all those years that we did play, it was always so much fun when you're there, and the jobs always went well. But a lot of times it meant sacrificing where you should have been at a family function or this or that. But you just have to make choices, and it's a job. It's fun, but it's still a job. It's a commitment. And for those people that are booking you, it might be their wedding or their you know, anniversary or whatever. I mean, that's important to them. So yeah, you know, you're kind of caught between a hard place and the rock there.
You know, and Cy, I was looking back at a couple things here I wanted to just have in my head in case you threw a curveball at me and asked me something. And I wanted to have the answer, but I was looking back here in some of my old notes and stuff. And, you know, at one time, the Larry Olson Band, we played over 200 jobs a year.
Wow.
And that was back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I tell you, yeah, we'd play 3-4 nights a week, all the time, every week.
And that wasn't your full-time job yet. You were still farming besides, huh?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. You know, and I can remember getting home at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock. The sun was coming up, and I remember hopping in the tractor and going to the field until noon.
Yeah.
And do something, and then got to go in the afternoon and play.
Yeah.
You know, and but back then, I was just looking at my notes. Boy, there wasn't too many afternoon jobs back in the 80s.
Right.
I mean, you had a few, but everything was, you know, we played out in South Dakota. They could sell beer and stuff out there until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
And there was a lot of places that I played in South Dakota that were 10 o'clock, starting at 10 in the evening till 2 in the morning.
Oh, you tell the younger generation that nowadays, and they can't believe it. You know, they say, how could you do that? You know, if they can't get to bed on time, they can't get up for work in the morning. They just don't know ever did it.
I couldn't do that nowadays if I had to. But no, there, and then it went from, you know, then of course that was South Dakota.
Yeah.
Then they kind of got on the bandwagon and started backing it down a little bit. Well, of course, Minnesota was 9-1 always. You remember those
days. Yeah, we do.
And then they kind of went 8-12. Then they come in with the 7-11 and 7:30, 11:30. I played a lot of jobs at, in that era of time.
Yeah.
But, you know, nowadays we play a lot of afternoon jobs.
Yeah.
And my gosh, that's nice. You get home at a decent time, and you know what I mean.
It's
I don't know. You reach that stage in your life where you just kind of go, "Gosh, that's nice." Go to a dance and be home before dark.
Your patrons, you know, the people that are dancing to your music. You look at most of them; they're all up in their upper years, so they don't want to drive after dark either. So.
Well, that's
a good deal. You bet. You bet.
So I see that. That's one big change that I've seen too in, you know, in the dancing world with the old time dances and stuff. You know, big change like that.
You bet.
So I don't know how long we got to talk about. If we could go all afternoon.
Oh, we sure could. No, we're kind of running down there. I wanted to ask you what you carrying around for concertinas these days.
Well, I usually call carry around a C and a B flat, and Hangles, of course.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Goes without saying.
Yeah, and but anyway, so that's what I kind of travel with, and we can get pretty much the range for our voices and everything in there with them too.
Okay.
But I do own an E flat Hangle, which is number two.
Okay.
Scale number two.
Wow.
And then I've had that for quite a few years. And then I've got an A-flat also. And Chrissy didn't make too many A-flats.
Yeah.
And I had that years ago because it seemed like it fit my sister's voice when we first started out.
Sure.
She liked to, you know, play an A-flat, E-flat, and all that. So
sure.
I used it more back then, but I haven't used it a lot now. And then, of course, I've got a few extra Cs and B flats around. I got some old Paddocks.
Okay.
I don't know, Pearl Queens. I I don't know. I got probably 30 concertinas, I suppose, all together.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just like something else. You never want to really tell your wife you got that many kids. You can only play one.
Yeah. I know guys that got 30 tractors in their shed, and they don't like to discuss that either with their wives.
No. No, that's secret.
Yeah. Larry, you were known for your big Polka Fest down there in Lake Benton for so many years. Talk about that just for a little bit.
Well, I tell you what, we made 25 good years. And someday we'll probably end up reminiscing and having a big fling. Maybe, you know, it's always been talked about.
Reunion?
Reunion, you know, or have just a big ding-ding some one of these years. You just never know. It'll be a surprise. But but as of now, we lost so much help.
Right.
We lost some of our older help. But, you know, when COVID hit, they got that and they passed away. And of course, the younger kids, they're busy if they are working.
Yep.
You know, or whatever. They can't get off to help. And I had a crew that was retired and that was just really designated to helping. They were there on Monday morning, and they were there on the following Monday to tear down.
Yep.
And I tell you, that's what it takes. It takes a lot of good help.
I can believe that. You bet. But
we have all the stuff to do it. I've rented the floor out for a few gigs and stuff, but I don't make it a habit, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we still got it. We got two floors that we can put down portable, and got all the chairs and all the tables and everything. But yeah, and we play out in, of course, South Dakota, and we go to Colorado yet, and we play out there a couple times a year.
Sure.
And anyway, but, you know, there's people that traveled we had them from 38 states.
Wow.
As an average, about 35 states was an average, but we'd always get 38 states. And, you know, people, they haven't forgotten about it. You know, they send us emails or something. Are you thinking of having a Polka Fest, music festival again? We'd sure like to know. Let us keep us in mind. And
sure.
They're from California or wherever. And, no, we really, really, you know, we're proud of what we did, and we had a lot of fun with it. And that's why I said I just wanted to end it out on a good note. We had 25 good years, and I just, you know, it's just the way it went.
You bet. You bet. Well, Larry, we're running down on time. Usually about this time I ask if you've got a memory that you would like to share with listeners, good, bad, or otherwise, and can't remember what you told us last time, so what have you got for us today?
Boy, I don't know. I guess I would have thought on that a little bit harder, but I've got, you know, just memories of a lot of good musicians that I've met over the years.
Yeah.
The band business is, you know, if you're a farmer, you see farmers in the elevator and you talk to them and you're in line with semis and grain trailers and whatever, and you talk to them and they're, and with musicians over the years, you made, you know, a lot of, like, going up to Albany there and having concertina players asking me, well, can you set in and play a few numbers with us?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you just so many good friends that I've made, and good concertina players, good keyboard players, drummers, musicians. I guess I got really good and fond memories of, you know, and the ones that have passed away before us today, you know, knowing them, saying you knew them and you played with them. I don't know. There's memories there you can't take away, I guess.
Absolutely. You know? Who did you always look up to as a concertina player as you were learning to play the concertina? Who would have been your idols?
Well, I took a few lessons from my brother-in-law, Marv Nissel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess he's kind of responsible for getting me going.
Okay.
So I would have to say, you know, Marv, he's... like I said, you know, kind of married to my sister and stuff, and yeah. I was small. And
yeah.
So anyway, he gave me some pointers. And, of course, my brother Leon, he was he's a little older than me, and he was playing.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, you look up to him, and I don't know if you look at it as competition or you just want to be able to be like, Big Brother or something, but
yeah,
he plays concertina and I do, and
yeah,
and I got a lot of cousins that used to play concertina a little bit more. They still can. They haven't went out in the, you know, for public or whatever and do a lot, but they play like at home and they play at some family reunions we have. So our family has got quite a musical history on it. Leroy Floor, he was an old, you know, after I got to know Leroy and my dad knew him years ago.
Okay.
I always enjoyed him. Johnny Helgett, I played so many jobs with Johnny years ago. Waconia Lakeside Ballroom, New Ulm Polka Days, Gibbon Polka Days. A lot of fond memories of Johnny Helgett, you know, Leon Helgett. Oh, I don't know. They're all good. They're all, in my book, I don't know who I would really say I'm really the fond, you know, most fond of. But
well, that's great.
But, you know, it's a great instrument. Everybody should own one and play one.
Yeah, that is true. All righty. Well, Larry, our time has run out. We're going to save a little time to play some of your music yet. You know what? We want to thank you for joining us on our Musicians Come and Play. And like I told you the last time, if the good Lord is willing that you and I are here down the road, we'll do this thing again sometime. How's that?
Oh, that sounds great. And I want to thank you for having me on there this week. And I want to thank everybody that listened here today. And be sure and check out that St. Joe Meat Market. You'll never regret it.
Very good. Larry, we're going to let you run. Have a great day. I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment. But great having you. Thanks again, Larry.
Yep. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, all right. And there he goes, Larry Olson, our 482nd guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. We're coming up on 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We've got time to play some music by Larry Olson's band, and that'll be coming your way in just moments. Razavian is out of town checks, wrapping up our Musicians Come and Play program here, our 482nd edition with Larry Olson. And boy, what a wonderful guest. Yes, I think Larry and I could have went on for a couple hours there. It's just so interesting listening to him. And just 60 years old, going to be 60 years old, but boy, he's got a lot of experience and fun guy to listen to. We're at 23 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, 33, our current temperature here in Albany. Kicking our music off on our musical treat for Dancing Feet, Larry Olson from his 2016 Back to My Homeland recording, The Champagne Polka. Larry Olson, a nice job there on the Champagne Polka. 26 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, 33 degrees here in central Minnesota. Another one off of that same recording, one called the Be Mine Polka. Larry Olson and the Be Mine Polka, 28 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, 33 degrees our current temperature in the first portion of our musical treat from Dancing Feet, and always excited to see what Jeannie B. has sent us for information. She always texts to me each week, and so Jeannie B.'s tour is bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And she says, hello from Branson, Missouri, here until Monday, seeing great shows once again. Jeannie B., well, we were with her earlier this summer when we went to Branson. And boy, just from experience, I know what a great job she does in showing you all the hidden gems and sights of Branson. And that's what the folks on the coaches are getting to see on this trip once again. She asked me to talk about the November 1st Jeannie B.'s tours fall meet and greets, and that's going to be at Jeannie B.'s office downtown in Freeport, and that's going to be this week. Don't miss this chance to see the tour itinerary presentations for the 2024 Jeannie B. Tours Extended Flyout Tours. And so that's going to be on November 1st this week. So that is, looking at the calendar, that's Wednesday, that Jeannie B. is going to be in the office, and they'll do their meet and greets. The 2024 tour schedule includes Treasures of Ireland, Colors of New England, the Danube River cruise to Germany and Austria, including the Vienna Christmas markets, the Alaska cruise tour, including Denali, Call of the Wild, Alaska Call of the Wild only tour, and also the Canadian Rockies, Banff, and Glacier, Hawaii, Washington, D.C., and the Great Canada Cities. So now is the time to reserve your seats for the tour of your choice. And there will be two sessions on November 1st, 9 until 11 or 1:30 till 3:30. An included lunch will be served at noon between the tour presentations. You just need to call Jeannie B's Tours to RSVP for the included lunch. The phone number, 320-345-1581. Now there are still available seats for the Awesome Jersey Boys at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater on December 20th. Other holidays One-day tours still available are Christmas in the Mansions on December 1st and the hilarious Church Basement Ladies, I'm Dreaming of a Loony Lutheran Christmas, and that's on December 2nd at the Ames Center in Burnsville. All tours include deluxe motor coach, guide, meal, all admissions on the itinerary, holiday goodies and prizes on the coach, and all you need to do is call Jeannie Bees, 320-345-1581, as soon as possible to book your next adventure. As Jeannie likes to say, remember, seeing is believing. That's Jeannie Bees Tours, and yeah, again, November 1st, that's when those meet and greets are at her office in Freeport, so give her a call. Jeannie Bees proudly bringing us our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM as we come up on 29 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, and temperature reading is at 33 degrees. Music continues right now. We're going to switch to the Larry Olson Band tribute to Arnold Olson CD and a nice waltz tune, Over Three Hills. And Over Three Hills. Beautiful waltz tune there. Right now it's polka time with the Larry Olson Band, tribute to Arnold Olson, and Arnold doing the drumming on this CD, and this one is called Bobby's Polka. Thank you. Wilson and one called the Bobby's Polka. Good stuff for you there by Mr. Larry Olson and the band. Well, the clock on the wall never stands still, no matter what program it is. And yeah, today is one of those days where we could play a lot more music, but it's time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. Going to do one more off of this CD, a tribute to Arnold Olson, the Larry Olson Band. And this one is called There's Pretty Girls in Chicago, a nice waltz tune. And with one call, There's Pretty Girls in Chicago. Wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Coming up on 22 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, and our temperature reading at 33 degrees here in central Minnesota.